Pastor Corey, and good morning, everybody. All right. We got that. It seems to be working okay. We were having some microphone issues a minute ago, so we'll see. Hopefully it's doing okay. I don't know if you knew this, but spring is almost here. It really is. Yeah. Today is the last day of January. Come on, somebody. What is up with that? Yes. Let's just declare this right now. Next Sunday, we're declaring wear shorts to church Sunday. Okay. Some of you watching online right now are not wearing pants, and so I don't know what to do with that. But I'm just kidding. If you didn't know this, for the past few weeks we've been using this phrase, pray first, and today is actually day 21 of a 21-day period of prayer and fasting here at the church. And if it's your first time here or you haven't been here for a little while, our church family as a whole, and that's what we call ourselves here as a family, we have been setting aside, we've set aside kind of this three-week period to seek God in an elevated way through what we call prayer and fasting. 3 weeks ago today, many of us, put together a plan of what we were going to be doing over the next 3 weeks. It included disciplined reading of the Bible, fasting meals to take time to pray, and all of that. And personally for me, it was a stretch. It was a hard thing. I didn't eat anything for 11 of the 21 days for me. And so I'm not looking for you to clap or anything, like, for real. I don't want to say that in any sort of an arrogant way, but it was a massively big deal to me that I did that 7 days in a row for me, and then two times where I had 2 days. And it was amazing when your body begins to tell you that it is physically in need, how that can make you very, very aware of spiritually your need for God. And that's what it was. That's what a fast is. That's why you do that. It's not a diet. It's not a health thing, even though medically there are massive health benefits when you look at the medical community to the idea of fasting. In fact, I was reading a medical journal this week, and it said we would all be healthier if once a year we went 3 days in a row without eating. Another medical thing that I read actually was from a veterinarian type of thing that said your dog would live longer if you only fed your dog 6 days a week. Some of you are like, that's torture, animal, yeah, I can't believe that. It's this, like, weird things where there's something just about our bodies needing time to detoxify from all of this stuff. And some of you are like, I didn't eat breakfast and my head almost exploded. You are addicted to caffeine or sugar or both is your problem, okay? It's such a powerful thing. And the vision behind all of this and these 21 days is that this season, these 21 days, would actually kind of be a springboard for our church family into an elevated culture of prayer. Prayer is already important to us around here. We pray in church and we pray for people, and this is a massive thing for us. But like the leadership, as we've been praying for the past 6 months or so, preparing for 2021, like, we have just felt God pushing us as leaders forward. And the idea is, if we truly believe that God answers prayer, if we truly believe that prayer changes things and that prayer is powerful, then how can we not, like, always be looking for ways to pray more? If we truly believe that. If we believe, and I mean, what does it say if we say that we believe in prayer, but we don't do it as Christians? Come on, that doesn't make any sense at all. So either we don't believe that prayer accomplishes anything and we don't do it, or we're just lazy and not committed. Which one is it? I'm not sure, okay? And so prayer is a massively important thing. And part of this prayer focus for us has been what we've been calling our prayer gatherings. where we pray every Sunday morning before our church services here. We were praying together at 8:15 to 8:35 today, and we had people in here, some walking around, some sitting in their seats, some kneeling at the front, praying for the service today. And in Sunday evenings, we've been praying together. And tonight, we're going to gather together 6 o'clock for those that want to come, 6 to 7, here in our location in Sauk Center, also in Long Prairie. We've been praying in both of our locations. Last Sunday evening, I'm telling you, there was like 50 people here. And we were praying, and we were seeking God together. It was something special, praying for God to move, praying for God to work, God to do things in our church, in our families, in our community, and in our nation, okay? Last week, our guest speaker said this. He said, prayer is not just for the super Christians. Like, every single one of us can learn how to pray and become better at that. In fact, we've been talking about just like how vital prayer was to Jesus and how prayer should be vital to us as well. At one point, Martin Luther, who pretty much changed Christianity as a whole and fixed a whole lot of things back in the 1500s, said this. He said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. You cannot be a Christian without prayer, is what he is saying. Prayer is about, it's about this connection with Jesus. And if you were here a couple weeks ago, powerful illustration that Jesus gives on this from the book of Matthew, where Jesus says, like, our relationship with him is like this grapevine and its connection to the branches. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, there's a connection between the two, and the branch will die if it's not connected. The branch cannot, like, the vine is what provides the branch with everything, the nutrients, the water, the life, okay? When the connection happens, the branch grows, it produces fruit, it flourishes and all of that. If there is no connection, it is dead and it's thrown away and burned in a pile, is what Jesus says. It's this connection with Jesus that comes from a relationship that is built on communication, that is built on prayer. That's why Martin Luther says you cannot be a Christian without praying, because you cannot be a Christian without being connected to Jesus. Okay, so enough of that. Next week, listen to me. Next week, we are transitioning into what we're kind of calling part two of our prayer focus to start the year. We're going to be starting a 3-week message series that we are calling Dangerous Prayers. Dangerous Prayers. And along with that series, we have our small groups going through the same exact thing. And you've heard us talk about that already, but listen to me. You have an opportunity. As a church, we like to provide you with opportunities. We cannot make you do anything. And we understand that. And that's not our goal. We don't want to guilt you into anything either, but we open the door for you. You have to walk through if you want to take things to another level in your life, okay? So that's what our small groups this time. I'm telling you, they're going to be something special as we're all church-wide going through the same idea, Sunday morning going through the same idea, and it's going to be all together. I'm fired up about that. So, all right, before we get to the Bible for today, let's take a moment and let's pray together. So please stand with me all over this place. And let's just invite God into this moment right here, right now, as we get into his very word. So, God, we look to you today. God, as the core of everything that we are and everything we do. And Lord, I just pray that we would hear from you today as we open your very word, that we would sit on the edge of our seats, that our hearts would be open and expectant of you. God, help me right now to speak on your behalf. We're not after my words and my whatever. God, we want to hear from you. And so, God, we just pray for that. We pray for that, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, wink at somebody and have a seat. Okay, question to start. Have you ever tried to drink out of a fire hose? Okay. Well, some people raise their hand like, no, I haven't, wait a second, I have not done that. All right, any firemen in here, they're like, yes, we do that as part of a training. No, you don't do that. Why don't you drink out of a fire hose because it's too much water coming at once. Would you agree? Okay, this is right from like, I didn't even need to tell you that. It's typically not a good idea. Well, this morning, like as I was kind of preparing for today, I felt like totally like what we were going to do was going to, in a way, be drinking out of a fire hose. And I was trying to adjust things and trying to fix things, and we didn't really get there. So we're just going to drink out of a fire hose all together this morning. Because here's what I found. As I was looking at the Bible and really trying to dive into this idea of prayer, I was overwhelmed by the content. I was overwhelmed by how much and how often the Bible brings this topic up, teaches on this topic. Jesus taught on the idea of prayer over and over again, and how many times we see prayer and we see communication with God and we see the result of that. And I feel like we could do a series on the topic of prayer and learn something new every week for an entire year, because it is that vast, it is that massive, and there are different parts and pieces and levels and different, okay? Not to make this sound strange, but every single one of us, you have a million things that you can learn and do better when it comes to this topic of prayer. And so what I've kind of come to today is like, we're just going to kind of take a 30,000-foot view of this topic and just start listing out a bunch of biblical truths on the topic of prayer. And we'll use the Bible with every single one of these. We're going to be all over the place here, and we'll see how many of these we get through. Okay, I have like 8, and I think we're going to get to about 5, and so we'll just see, okay? So, and I will say this, is going to be one of the best sermons in the whole entire world for you to take notes on, just because of the way that it's going to be. So right now, grab something, even if it's the person next to you in their arm or something. Like, write some things down today, because I think it will be helpful. I've taken notes in church forever, and I look back sometimes at 20 years ago, some of the notebooks that I have where I was sitting in church taking notes and what God was doing in my life at that point and different things. Powerful, powerful things. So come on, somebody do this. All right, number one, write this down. There is power in people praying together. There's power in people praying together, all right? Acts chapter 4 is where we're looking for this. The book of Acts tells the story of the first Christians. Jesus is crucified, he raises from the dead, and then he leaves earth, okay? About a 40-day period in there, and then he leaves earth. And the book of Acts follows that, and it tells us the story of what happens next, which includes the incredible spreading of Christianity for the very first time. Jesus was not a Christian. Jesus was a Jew. Christianity started with his death and resurrection, if you're confused on that. All right? Thousands of people become Christians in a very short time as incredible things begin to happen. It also includes, though, the story of this harsh persecution that begins to happen. Persecution from the Jewish people to these new Christians. Persecution from the Roman Empire on these new Christians. Okay, Acts chapter 4, two former disciples of Jesus, Peter and John, are arrested. And there's this kind of trial that happens where they are released eventually, but they are told you can no longer speak of this Jesus stuff or else. Is kind of the idea here, okay? There's this threatening that happens, and let me show you what happens next. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. I'm going to read this to you, okay? It says, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. They get back into this group. They tell them what happened. Like, we've been threatened. They told us we can't tell anyone about Jesus. And the group all together begins to pray. Skip to verse 29. Okay, this is part of what they're praying. They pray, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Now, this is like a whole different sermon where they're like, they've been told to shut their mouth. And they're like, we're going to not shut our mouth. And it's awesome, okay? Verse 30, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus, okay? They pray that together. Verse 31, after this prayer, they're all praying together. It says this, the meeting place shook. I don't know what, like earthquake? I don't know what that means, all right? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, which like God came in. These people had already been filled with the Holy Spirit of different things, okay? The Holy Spirit, God who lives inside of us, like comes into them in a greater way in this moment than they preach the word of God with boldness. When these believers gathered together to pray together, something powerful happened. They experienced God together. God moved together. God filled them. God gave them boldness. Okay? There is power in people praying together. Acts chapter 12. Okay? Again, Peter is arrested, but this time he's thrown in prison. James, the disciple of Jesus, has just been murdered in Acts chapter 11. The first one of his disciples to go, 11 of the 12 are eventually going to be killed for their faith in Jesus. Peter is now arrested. They're going to put him on trial publicly, make an example of him and kill him in the streets is what the plan is. You can read about it. All right? He's thrown in prison overnight. Verse 5, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Well, Pastor Kyle, that doesn't say they were all together. They could have been praying all in their houses. We'll get there. All right? The result is this miraculous event. Peter is in prison. He's sleeping between two guards, bound with chains. An angel shows up. The chains fall off. The doors just go, you know, and they open up. Peter walks out of prison. Crazy story. Read this at home, Acts chapter 12. Here's what happens next. Okay, verse 12, he, that's Peter, went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. This miracle that we see directly related to people gathering together and praying together. The power of corporate prayer, the power of believers gathering together to pray. James chapter 5 says, pray for one another. Okay, and this is why this has become such a priority for us. This is why we're gathering together to pray. Like, you can pray in your homes, absolutely, all by yourself, but there's something special that happens when believers gather together to pray. That was number one, all right? Number two, totally a different direction. We're just write it down. Here we go. Number two, sometimes God works suddenly, and sometimes God works over a period of time. All right? And I think for most of us, you read that and you're thinking, yeah, that's fairly obvious. All right? But I think it's an important reminder to those of us here today who maybe you have been praying for something very specific for a long time. Many times in the Bible, we read about a prayer that produced instant results. We see this like in the Old Testament, this guy named Joshua, he's at war with his enemies and they're starting to defeat the enemies, but the sun is going down and Joshua stands up and prays a prayer to God and says, God, stop the sun in the sky. And boom, the sun stops and they defeat their enemies. It's this miraculous, instantaneous prayer that produces a result. That happens. There's no question. It's all over the Bible that things like that happen. But we also have prayers that seem to take a significant amount of time to be answered. And we even see this in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1, there's a story of a woman named Hannah. And more than anything, Hannah wants to become a mom. And she can't get pregnant. It's her story. And the story says year after year, she is going to the temple. She is doing her stuff. She's praying to God. God, give me a son. God, give me a child. I cannot. Okay. Eventually, the Bible calls it a miracle. Okay. She gets pregnant. Her prayer is answered. But we're talking years of crying out to God for a child. Sometimes God works in an instant, and sometimes God works over a period of time. Luke chapter 18, write that down. Jesus tells a story called the persistent widow. And he's teaching his disciples something, and he tells a story. And he starts with these words. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Well, if God is answering all the prayers in the Bible instantaneously, it doesn't make any sense what Jesus is doing right here. Would you agree? All right, never give up. And then he tells a story of a widow who continues to come back and ask this judge for justice. And at first the judge is like, nope. And then she goes away. And then she comes back and she says, come on. And the judge says, nope. And then she comes, this is the story Jesus tells. She comes back and she says, judge, come on. And the judge is finally like, okay. Boom. And he grants her request. Okay, the application for you and I today, keep praying. Don't give up. I know that you may have been praying. You may have been praying for the same thing for years and years and years and years. And you're saying, where is God? And why doesn't he listen? And why doesn't he answer? And you're discouraged and you've been doing this forever, okay? I know it can feel like nothing is happening. Nothing is changing. Things sometimes even get worse, don't they? They get worse. But don't give up. Keep praying, keep asking, keep crying out to God. This is not in my notes, but I pictured like when I was in elementary school, my teacher had a poster on the wall, and it was of a bird with a frog in its mouth. And it was a cartoon thing, and the frog was reaching out, it's like half eaten, reaching out and had the bird around the neck. You know, can you picture that? And just said, never give up. And I was like, yeah, there we go, all right? That was not planned, probably, I don't know, all right? Just don't give up. In farming, the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit, okay? You hear me here? Sometimes praying can be, in a way, planting seeds take time. We don't know why. We don't understand all of that stuff and when and why and how God answers prayers. But just understand, sometimes prayers are answered instantly. Sometimes they take years and years. And sometimes the answer, God answers your prayer, but his answer is no. Because he's a loving father and he knows better than we do. And that does not make any sense to us at some points. But, you know, if my kids come up to me and they say, can I have chocolate cake for breakfast? No. Okay? How about with Mountain Dew? Absolutely not. Okay? Why? It's amazing, Dad. Yeah, but we're not going to do it. All right? There is potency in persistence. This is a biblical thing. God is honored by our persistence, and we see this all over the scripture. All right. Number three. And this is God answering our prayer in a way that like maybe we don't see is actually what this is. Number three, write this down. This is a long one. You're going to have to start writing right now. Sometimes the purpose of prayer is to get us out of circumstances, but more often the purpose of prayer is to get us through them. Now let me flesh this out a little bit, okay? When we pray and we're in a nasty situation in our life, a circumstance, our prayer is almost always, God, take this away from me. God, I have cancer, heal me of this now so I don't have to go through the pain and the junk that is here, okay? But sometimes the purpose of prayer is for God to take us out of that and change that, but more often, and we see this biblically, all right, God's purpose in prayer is to actually help us get through the situations because we come out the other side knowing him better. All right, I want to show you this, and I'm going to use Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. All right, this story is in both Luke chapter 22, Matthew chapter 26. This event that we're going to talk about happens the night that Jesus is arrested. Okay, he's going to be crucified the next morning. The night before he's crucified, Jesus takes a few of his disciples with him, and they go into this garden, and they pray. And he's praying in this garden, and this is what Jesus prays. Now think about this with what is going to happen next. All right, this is Luke 22, 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. What is Jesus praying when he's praying, take this cup from me? Jesus knows what's coming, and he's asking God, God, please, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to do this. His physical humanity is coming out here, and he's like, God, I don't want to go through what I know that I'm going to go through. Can you take this away? He's praying to God to not have to die and go through all the junk. Do you feel that? But then he says, yep, not my will, but yours be done. Verse 43, an angel from heaven appears to him and strengthens him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Can you picture this moment of Jesus praying? Jesus knows what's coming. He knows he'll be arrested. He knows he'll be beaten. He knows he's going to die. And he prays, I don't want to do this, God. If it's cool with you, I'd prefer not to go all through all this. But understand this with me. Don't miss this. Jesus' prayer here did absolutely nothing to keep him from going through all the junk. Do you hear that? His prayer did not help him to prevent any of that stuff from coming. He still went through the most horrendous physical pain and suffering you could imagine as a human being. And God doesn't keep him from any of that, but his prayers, though it didn't keep him from that, definitely helped him get through it, I believe. All right? Like, see, our prayers, God, get me out of this. God, take this away from me and my family. God, do this so I don't have to go through it anymore. And in our minds, an answer to our prayer would actually be God supernaturally changing our situation. But often, and I would say more often than not, God uses our prayers to strengthen us and move us through this junk because he knows what this will produce in our lives. As we are stronger, which is a biblical thing, as we know him more, there's a biblical thing as we go through all of that. All right, I'm not going to spend any more time on this. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that in a few weeks. Sometimes the purpose of prayer is to get us out of situations. More often than not, the purpose is to get us through it. Number four, we're doing great. We're on pace to get through about five, just like I thought. All right, number four, this is so big. Learning to listen and hear God's voice is a massively humongous part of prayer. And it's often missed. It's very often missed. Let me talk about this here really quick, okay? Prayer was never meant biblically to be a monologue. Prayer was meant to be a dialogue. What is a monologue if you don't know what that means? Okay, a monologue is one person talking. Like a narrator in a play, you know? He's just the one talking. No one else is talking back, okay? A dialogue is two people talking. It's a conversation. There's more than one person, and both have an opportunity to speak, and both have an opportunity to listen. That's how healthy relationships work, by the way. All right? Husbands, sometimes you got to shut up, and wives, sometimes you got to shut up. You got to listen to each other, okay? All right, there we go. That needed to be said for some of you. Write that down, okay? Jesus uses dialogue language in talking about the relationship between God, or in this case, Jesus himself and his followers. And he uses this illustration of a shepherd and sheep. That's what he says, okay? And he calls himself the good shepherd. He talks about this more than once. And the illustration is clearly that we are the sheep and he is the shepherd. By the way, sheep are really dumb in real life, okay? So just leave that where it's at. All right, but the shepherd and sheep is the relationship. This is John chapter 10. Here's what it says, verse 2. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. Now, the way that we typically think about prayer is like in this illustration, the sheep would be the ones who are talking. The way that we think about praying, we pray by talking to God. That's the way we think about this. But more than once in this illustration, Jesus very specifically says that the sheep are the ones listening. Listening. The sheep listen to his voice. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. Like learning to listen and hear God's voice is a massively important part of prayer. So, all right, really quickly, and this could be an entire sermon by itself, but we're going to take like the 3-minute version here of this God speaks to people still today, and he does it in a number of ways, okay? And we're really not talking about people hearing an audible voice of God, by the way, though it could happen. God can do whatever he wants, and we see that in the Bible at different places, and other people claim to have that happen. Okay, for the most part, we're not talking about that. So get that out of your brain to start, okay? God speaks in a number of different ways. Let me put the list on the screen here. Go ahead and put that up there for me. We'll talk about each one of these briefly. How does God speak? Okay, number one, through the Bible. That's massively important, and we're starting right there. Why? Because God has already spoken, and it was written down for you and for me, and you've got to start right there. In fact, I heard someone once say, why would God speak to you in a different way when you won't even read the words he already gave you? Okay, the Bible. Like, there's a reason why the Bible is called the Word of God. It's God's words written to humanity, written to people, written to us. All right? God speaks when people open up his word and read it and are hungry for him. It's true. It's real. It's powerful. Okay? God speaks in powerful ways through the Bible. The second point, we're going to call it the inner voice. You could call it the Holy Spirit. I was trying to find the best way to say this one. But the idea here is God speaks, like God the Holy Spirit, which is God who lives inside of us as Christians, speaks to us directly through our thoughts. God speaks through our thoughts. In fact, many of you in this place today, God has spoken to you. God is speaking to you in your mind, and yet you do not understand that that's God. And you have not learned that. God speaks in that way. It is absolutely possible for us to learn how to decipher the voice of God in our mind. Now, where this gets difficult is the enemy also uses your mind. And the enemy fills your thoughts with negative junk about you and about the way that you live and about the stuff you're doing. And he's filling you and telling you all the junk, okay? God, the Holy Spirit, and the enemy are speaking to us in our minds. And we, as humans, struggle to figure out what in the world's going on, okay? That's what that is, but it's absolutely possible for God to speak in our mind. Okay, number three, God speaks through other people. Other people. Romans chapter 10 says, how can somebody hear without somebody telling them? Very simply put, okay, God has been speaking through people, speaking from one person to the next, or one person to a group of people, like since the very beginning, and he's still doing it today. Something that I say even from the front today could go into your brain, and God could use a word that I say as his very word. Or when you walk out these doors today, someone could come up to you and speak something, and they may not even understand or know that it is God in any sort of a way, but they speak something and that hits you in a way where you're like, wow, God just did that. Okay, that has happened. That's happening all over the place, all right? Clearly, God speaks through other people. Number four, circumstances. God speaks through the junk that you and I go through. Clearly, you could experience something difficult and you walk away from that experience thinking, wow, God clearly showed me something. God clearly used that in my life and spoke something into my heart. We're not talking audible voice here. We're talking, okay, different ways. But God often uses circumstances, situations. We see it in the Bible. It's still happening today. Number five gets there a little bit out there for some of us, but we see this all over the scripture and visions and dreams. Sometimes God puts a picture of some sort in somebody's mind, a picture of somebody specific or a picture of an event that has happened or has not happened. Okay, God even speaks through dreams. The Bible points to this. The Bible talks about it. Now, I'm not someone to start claiming that every whacked out dream I have is from God. Okay, in fact, my default no question is like, that was the Taco Bell I had at 11 o'clock. All right, that was not a God thing. All right, but like, but I know people who have had supernatural experiences with God through dreams. This is very common around the world. In people who have really no access to someone personally to tell them about God. They have no Bible. They don't have access to any of it. And all of a sudden, God shows up in a dream, and you have this Muslim dude in the middle of the worst place in the world who begins to tell people, saying, I saw a vision of this dude. I dreamt, and it was like there was like a murder of a cross, and someone will hear me like, "You're talking about Jesus." And they're like, "Who? What do you mean?" And okay, and it's like God just spoke to you in this supernatural way. That stuff is happening all over the place. The point, learning and listening to hear God's voice, important part of prayer. All right, I want to close with one more, and this is more just kind of like a hyped up let's go, okay, as we walk out of this place today and kind of finish these 4 weeks and our 21 days. Okay, listen, prayer is the key that unlocks God's power in our lives. It is the key that unlocks God's power. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. A righteous person in this scripture verse is not a perfect person. There's no such thing besides Jesus. A righteous person is someone who has been made right by God through Jesus on the cross. That's the righteousness that we come to as we submit our lives to Him. And if a person has been made right, like if you experience the grace and the forgiveness of God, then your prayers are powerful and effective, the Bible says. Prayer is the key. It's the answer. It is central to everything that we do as followers of Jesus. Everything we talk about, it's central to our relationship with God, but like even more specifically, it's central to us living out our faith. Do you know that it is impossible to worry and pray at the same time? Do you know that? You can't do it. You're like, "I'm going to try." Okay? It doesn't work. And if you truly want to make a difference on earth for Jesus, then you need something powerful from heaven. You need that connection with Jesus that we've been talking about. You cannot do this on your own. I don't care how churchy you feel like you are. If you are disconnected from Jesus, you cannot live this out. It is the key. It is everything. It is massively, okay? That includes, like we look, it includes listening. It includes the scripture. It includes all of this is all one here. Prayer, communication with God, dialogue with God. It's the key that unlocks God's power in our lives. Not a showy thing filled with all sorts of big spiritual words that flow together, but this humble, genuine heart speaking to Jesus and ears that are open in that way, learning to listen and follow His voice. And my prayer for you is that these 21 days would not just come and go, like, but that we would be a church that just loves to pray. That we would be a church that understands our need for Him. That we'd be a church that is not trying to do this all on our own and calling us Christians. That we would be a church that gathers together and prays together and experiences Jesus together. That we wouldn't give up, but that we would keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. And that we would be a church that understands that sometimes prayer doesn't change situations, but sometimes it changes us. Come on. Before we go, I just want us to take a moment or two here for just kind of a quick time of prayer together and reflection. Will you stand with me all over this place? Let's just take kind of just a minute or two, and I just want to kind of lead us in just a time of prayer as we close these 21 days, but really in my mind, in the way that I'm thinking, we kind of step into a new culture here. Or we pray before church, we gather together on Sunday nights, we are in our homes and we do this and we learn how to listen and we understand how to call on the name of God and we understand how to walk with Him and hear His voice and follow His lead like a shepherd leads a sheep. Will you just join me as I pray? God, We pray that You would move and that You would speak and that we would learn to hear You. God, that we would look to You as the center of everything that we are and everything that we do. God, You are not another piece to our lives that are so full of so many things, but You are the center of everything that we are and everything that we do. God, everything else flows from You. That's what we want. And God, I pray that as we learn how to connect with you and stay connected to you through prayer and through your very word and through listening, God, I pray that things would go to a whole new level spiritually here. And I pray that as we walk out the doors of this church, service and these gathering together, that we would be so in tune with you and hearing your voice and knowing your word, God, that everywhere we go and everything that we do would become an opportunity for us to speak you and speak life into the people that we come in contact with. God, we don't want to be transformed and changed by our culture and our world. We want to be transformed and changed by you and your word and your desires and everything you have for us. And so, God, we pray all together, asking for you to do that. We pray for that, Lord, in your name we pray. Last thing, every week we want to give people an opportunity to respond to the message of Jesus for the very first time. And maybe you're here today and maybe you've done church things for a long time or whatever this is for you, religion and all, okay? Maybe you were even baptized and confirmed and all of those things. The Bible points to this decision. He has laid this out for you. He has opened a door for you by sending his son to die. There is grace and forgiveness and all of that. And what it takes for us is we must repent of our sins, turn from that. We must turn to God, believe that he died for us, and make him Lord of our lives. And maybe you're here today and you would say, Pastor Kyle, I have never done that. I've never done that. And I want to do that today. If that's you, will you just show me your hand? I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray. Anyone at all that says, that's me. If you are watching online right now, you can respond to this. Okay? You can click a little respond button or raise a hand or whatever. We want you to respond to God right now as well. All right, church, let's just pray together. Kind of as we're done, everyone in this place, pray this with me. Pray, Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In your name I pray. Amen, amen. Let's celebrate that together for anyone who made that decision today. All right, now, let me speak this over you just as we're done. May we be a church that learns how to pray. May we be a church that learns how to hear God's voice and let that challenge us and change us and move us to do great, incredible things for him. Awesome. Amen. God.